We're here. We're getting set up, everybody. We got our very quick, very efficient fire up the mics coming up. Something special just for my guy Steve here. So very quickly, as I put the headphones on, fire up the mics is unedited, unscripted, uneverythinged. And this is one I just saw for Steve, so I figured I'd give him a call, come right over here. All right. Headline. Candace Owens dubbed the mouthpiece for right-wing agenda after making claims about the most murderous group in America. That's why they bring out Candace. Her comments. One thing I always say, Tucker, is the left can pull a racist narrative from the air when one does not exist. When it's actually in their face, they do everything to avoid it. Especially when the perpetrator is a black person against a white person. Oh, talking about
what happened in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're going nuts. She's facing all kind of backlash, making up facts. All this is nonsense.
But I want to know, what are the specific facts that she's making up?
Well, we've had this conversation before.
Right.
You've mentioned it. How was 30% of the population charged with 50% of the crime or something like that?
Oh, but no, listen, more specifically. Oh, so what I'm about to say right now had nothing to do with Wisconsin, but I'm just telling you in the overall.
Overall.
Okay, so.
Well, because they're coming at her for making up nonsense.
Right.
But it's the data is out there.
Right, DOJ. This is DOJ data.
Yeah, this isn't making up facts from Fox or from CNN. This is actual information that can be found.
So here's the thing. And this goes back to misinformation, disinformation, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I don't know if they're being disingenuous or are they reading the information incorrectly.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm saying. So the problem is, yes, per capita, more black people get stopped. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. However, what they fail to make you understand is that per capita, more black people commit violent crimes. I mean, not even close. I mean, it's so, the numbers are so skewed in the area of black people, specifically black men, young black men committing crimes. It's so skewed that you'll be a fool to be an officer approaching in a situation that could be hostile and is a black young man, and you don't think to yourself, I need to protect myself. You're almost like a fool. You know what I'm saying?
Because the numbers. But you can't say that because that's racist. Why are you profiling like that?
But here's my thing. Why is it racist? Why do we call it racist?
Listen, I'm asking you.
Listen, it's racist if in my heart as an individual, I have hatred towards you because of this statistic, yeah. Right? Or I think I'm better than you because of this stat.
But
that's racist.
If you're using that stat as protection,
precaution, right?
Because you're playing the odds.
Correct.
That again, if you're rolling through the hood or rolling through an upper echelon neighborhood,
right?
You're probably not going to react a certain way,
right?
Though it might be in your head, hey, why is this guy here? Who knows? Which again, based off of data, factual information presented by the government year after year. That's why cops act a certain way. And again, we're going to use a cliche. Well, not everybody is bad. And we get not everybody's everything. We're playing the odds.
So listen, let me say this. As a black man, it makes me feel bad, honestly, and just being totally transparent, that my culture, the group that I'm clearly identified with, right, has this this reality that's associated with them where I can get swept up in it, right? Meaning that I could get stopped, right? And I could be profiled.
But you're not mad at the cops.
I'm not mad at them.
You're mad at your culture for allowing it to be this way.
Thank you.
Sorry if I took that out of your way.
No, that's exactly what I was going
to
say.
Because we've had this conversation before.
Yes.
And we're going to get right to the point and fire up the mics quick 10 minutes because we've had this conversation. You're not mad at the cop. You're mad at the cop if he gets personal and starts saying
if he mistreats
things.
Me, right.
Yeah, but if he's pulling you over based on where you are, what you're doing, the time of night, which all cops do across everywhere.
Right.
You're like, listen, if this guy didn't mow down 60, 70 people, you wouldn't have to be worrying about it. If the Jacob Blakes and all these other guys, if they're not breaking the law.
Remember I told you about, you know, my foster kid. He was watching a video of this guy, this black guy beating down cops. Like he took out like four or five cops and he was laughing about it. And I said, you're laughing about it, but guess what? each one of these cops, next time they run up against a black guy who's being hostile, yeah, that guy might be shot.
They're taking extra precautions.
Exactly. That means I'm in greater danger now because of how this guy responded to
and
that
no
situation.
No one seems to understand that. They don't seem to pick up on
that. And that's not
that.
Racist. And I'm a black person telling you that. I'm living this life understanding, like, crap, man, it's a double-edged sword that I'm living in.
I remember one night your kids went out, rode the bike down the street.
Yes.
Now, there's a neighborhood in our area that's considered, like, we call it, like, Little Texas. It's country. It's this, that, and the other. And 2 a.m, your kids, who are mixed, but you right. can definitely tell they're black,
right,
were riding bikes in this, quote-unquote, hey, stay away from Little Texas neighborhood.
Right.
Cops pulled them over. Your oldest son went to go pick him up. They held him there because he's not an adult.
Right.
The cops came, you guys got everything handled. I'm like, Steve, you're alive still? I thought black people died to the police. You know, like, they were out in the middle of the night riding bikes in down a main highway.
And listen, that's interesting, because I just remember this when you just said this. Because as we're talking to the police officer, I don't know if he was talking to my wife or me, because, yeah, we were trying to get the bikes in the car, so he must have been talking to my wife.
Yeah.
And he was telling my wife, like, listen, Your kids are great. I mean, the way they reacted to us, you know, and how they responded to us and all that stuff, they were great, you know. So to me, it was a testimony walking away that I'm doing something right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes,
my kids weren't scared. You know what I'm saying? They weren't belligerent. They weren't rude or disrespectful. It was yes, sir, no, sir, yes, officer,
which
no,
you
officer.
Which you want your ass to respect authority.
Exactly. And so that made me feel good. You know, like, I didn't even, and this is the truth, I did not even go there with concern. Like, I was ticked off of my kids
yeah.
for being out in the streets, right? But I wasn't ticked off from the sense of, I wasn't concerned, like, oh my goodness, are my kids in danger? That didn't even cross my mind, not for a second.
Yeah.
And this was in the height of the lockdown.
This was, yeah.
This was in the height of the lockdown. I wasn't even concerned
at all. Oh,
yeah,
it was black, white, race relations all over the
all
news.
All over the place.
No one's allowed
BLM,
out.
BLM, chants,
yeah.
and all that
no
stuff.
No one's allowed out of the house after, like, 10 o'clock. Every reason for the cop to be super aggressive and super upset, and and your kids, which what everyone is asked to do, yes, sir, no, sir, what do you need? De-escalate a situation, if there was one to de-escalate, and no problem.
So I want to get back to this. When I've said this multiple times. The thought, I feel that we are taking racism, the word racism, and we're misapplying it.
Yeah.
Right? We call every thought that is contrary racist.
Yeah.
And that is the problem. Like, we talked about this before. We take words and now they lose their meaning.
Yeah.
Right? And racism is losing its meaning. If you can call Candace Owens, Larry Elder, Winsome Sears, you can call these black people white supremacists. If you can even associate that term, white supremacists, with these black people, white supremacists means nothing now. You know
exactly.
what I say? A 2-year-old kid can be a
racism,
white supremacist. Yeah.
Racism means
it
nothing.
It means
now.
Nothing. And we have to stop doing
when
that.
When all the music is loaded with the N-word and you hear kids on the street using it and you get upset,
it means
yes. It's popular culture.
Exactly.
What are you supposed to do?
We have to stop it, man. We have to stop it.
Need to hold people accountable.
Yes, responsible people have to stop it. CNN, MSNBC, all these pundits, they have to stop it. Because you know what's happening is that we're raising another generation of people who do not understand what racism is.
Yeah.
When they're face-to-face with racism, they're not going to... In fact, they're not going to be able to correctly respond to...
That's a great point.
How people...
it's okay, go.
They're not going to be able to correctly respond when something happens because they don't understand what racism is. And I remember I told you the story. My son went out with his friends. One is a Latin guy. One is a Chinese guy, Asian guy. The other one is a white guy.
Yeah.
And then my son. So you have 4 guys from 4 different backgrounds that went out. They went to like a hibachi place.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's other people sitting around them. They walked away from that experience, the other 3 guys saying those people were racist. And my son's looking at them like, what are you talking about? They're racist. What
yeah.
happened? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I missed it. What are you talking
about?
Yeah,
what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the only quote-unquote black person at the table, and yet I'm the only one that walked away.
And according to the news, you can only be racist towards a black person, not anybody else.
And I'm walking away saying,
yeah.
like, what are you talking about? So
yeah.
this is the problem. This is a problem. Here is high schoolers who don't understand what racism is because we are overplaying the word.
And there are, on all sides, if you're part of a race, you can be racist and be racist against. It's there. They're just telling you you're racist for whatever reason. You're losing the meaning because there is real racism out
there. Yes,
there
is.
There's real hatred out there.
Yes.
And it's going to go unnoticed because if I look at Steve, I'm like, damn, Steve, like, I can't see you in the darkness over there. Oh my God, you're racist. Exactly. No, it's dark in here. Exactly. And Steve's dark complected. Yes. I can't see him. That's pretty much how it goes.
I need to smile so my teeth can show and show some light.
Like, what's the big deal? It's just a joke. You know what I'm saying? But people, they get, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. But I'm not wrong.
And I'm glad, Billy, that you brought that point up. Really, it's because what Billy just described is not racist. And we are calling it racist. Yeah. We're calling it racism, and we have to stop that.
So, like, are they watering it down to get rid of it?
Right.
Which means the real hatred is going to go unnoticed.
I want to backtrack for a second. Yeah. Because, listen, I'm not saying... My sensitivity meter is so low that it's so hard to offend me, okay?
Yes.
But listen, that's me. The next Joe, next black guy over to the side, his sensitivity meter might be much higher, even if it's twice mine, you know what I'm saying? Just higher than mine. And I'm not begrudging you, and I'm not saying you're wrong because your sensitivity meter is so much higher. What I am saying is that recognize it. That is higher, and recognize that just because it's higher doesn't mean the next person is racist. He might say something that I don't really like, but doesn't mean that he's racist. Just recognize, look, tell the person, hey, you know what? I don't like those kind of comments. But don't think that the person is racist because of it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense what I'm saying?
100%.
We're not monoliths. I don't speak for everybody. But what I am telling you is that we are overusing it. We are hypersensitive, and because we're hypersensitive, we're using the wrong words to describe certain actions. And and what we're saying is, stop doing it. Stop. We're ruining our culture. We're ruining our future because of this.
And as always, who is the problem? The media putting it out there, or the people buying it and believing it and spreading it more and more? Because the media just says it to you, but you go on Facebook and you send it to two people.
Right.
Two people send it to two people. Pretty soon, it's wildfire of nonsense and everybody's upset. But no one, from the very beginning, no one knows why they're upset. They're just upset. And then comes the, I've got to be more upset than you.
Right.
So watch how mad I am.
Right.
And then you forgot if it's racist, if it's hatred. You just got to out-upset the next person. And that's what happens.
And I'll just say this. People want to stay in power.
Yeah.
All of this is subterfuge because they want to stay in power. And I'm telling you,
divide and conquer.
The leftist elitist. And it's funny because I was having this conversation with someone yesterday talking about the 50s and the 60s going into the 70s. The leftists, they early in the mid 50s or mid 60s, they recognized that to stay in power, they needed to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to galvanize their voting bloc.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it's in that time period that this whole critical theory, this whole intersectionality, this whole, what they call it, when you divide.
The division? I don't know.
What did it call it?
Segregate?
Identity politics. That's okay, what it is. Yeah, identity politics was birthed in the 60s. Because they realized that we can start subdividing people and putting them in groups, and then getting those groups to say, yes, we're being marginalized. Now we can grow our block.
Because they positively marginalized them. Hey, you're an African American. You come from the motherland.
Yes.
Hell yeah, I am. Check me. I'm from Africa. Look at me. We're like, well, no, you're not. You're born in Florida. But listen, you're born in Wisconsin.
But
it's
double-edged. Not only do they say that, but then they say, but look how you're being mistreated. Look, like not only are you from the motherland and you should be proud of yourself, but look how you're being mistreated. They don't respect the fact that you're from the motherland. So they're propping you up and then having you sowing hatred towards the other class.
Yeah,
and
I know. It's ridiculous.
That I'm telling you, we're here upset at the fact that white supremacists, Candace Owen, get out of here with that crap, right? But at the same time, what we're saying to you is it's about power.
Yes.
Don't lose sight of what was going on. They're playing a game on us. They're running game on us, and we're not recognizing it. This is all about power.
And Steve likes to say intellectually honest. Well, I'll say intelligence. They're telling you a black person is a white supremacist. They're telling you you're stupid. It is white supremacy is I am better than a black person. You cannot stop me. You're the worst. And they're telling you that black people are white supremacists. They're telling you to your face you are stupid and you're believing it.
And you're believing it. And look, this goes out to blacks and whites because both blacks and whites are buying this nonsense.
Yes.
They're buying this crap. And it's crap. It's horse manure. Don't get caught up in what they're doing. This net, this web that they're catching you up in. lay the emotions down. Put it down for a second, man, and just think about it.
The old man said the other day, we're in here, America has it so good, they make up their own
problems. They make up their own problems. First world problems.
Yeah,
oh,
like,
my
come
goodness.
On, really? Ugh. You got anything else?
Dude, listen, we can do a whole show. So
we can, but I'm making sure we're gonna throw some water on this fire and calm this one down.
We're good.
We're out.
Peace.